Right, so we just read together Luke chapter 22, and this particular chapter introduces us to two people, Judas, the betrayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like to do by way of exhortation today is to consider these two individuals, to see their failings and to see their ultimate end, as it were, that we might have an exhortation from the examples of those who failed in times past, but yet in the case of Peter, was brought back again and caused to repent of what it was that he did. So we look at Judas first, and we read in verse 3 of Luke chapter 22, it says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money." Now, if you go over to John chapter 6, John chapter 6, we have this insight of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 64. In verse 64 it says, "There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him." So right from the beginning of his ministry then, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew what was in man, and so he knew that Judas was going to be the betrayer. "Have I not chosen you?" He says, "One of you is devil," in verse 70 of chapter 6. Jesus answered him, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil or a demon?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And so we turn over to John chapter 12. We find that the sin of Judas wasn't only in having the Lord Jesus Christ taken and put to death. He was also a very dishonest man, and he was a thief. So in John chapter 12, we have this situation where Mary, in verse 3, takes a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And in response to this action, it says in verse 4, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" But actually, when he said that, he didn't care about the poor. He wasn't interested in the poor. He's interested in himself. And one of the primary lessons that come out in the record of Judas is that he was a man who was governed and motivated by self-interest. He didn't care about the poor. But it says in verse 6, "But because he was a thief and had the bag and bare that which was put therein." And so we have illustrated the point in Psalm 109. Let's go over to Psalm 109. This is a psalm which is about Judas Iscariot. In verse 8 it says, "Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow." And this verse 8 is applied to Judas in the New Testament with regard to finding him a replacement and after he died. But the point is, in verse 16, "Because that he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man." And think of Judas then, he cared not for the poor. He had no interest in caring for the poor. He was interested in bearing what was in the bag, that he might take it for himself and steal it. And it says that he persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. And the broken in heart here, we believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he is the one that we've just been reading of and Les has brought our attention to in the anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's a poor and needy man, and he was slain by the results of Judas's actions. So if you go over to Matthew chapter 26, we see that when it talks about Judas betraying the Lord for money, and in our reading in Luke it says that they covenant with him to give him money, In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15, we find that actually he instigated the situation. It wasn't that they came to him and said, if you betray him, we'll give you so much money. It's the other way around. In verse 14 it says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests. So he was initiating this whole process. And said unto them, what will ye give me that I will deliver him unto you? And they covenant with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. And so as I said, he's a man who's governed out of self-interest. He didn't care about the poor. He didn't care about the needy, the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't care about those things. He just wanted the money. And he covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a Hebrew slave under the law of Moses. Well, there are a number of psalms which are very applicable to the circumstances of Judas. And we'll just look at a couple of them. Psalm 55 to begin with. We read here, Psalm 55 and in verse 12, this is another prophecy about Judas. It was not an enemy that reproached me, then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hidden myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in our dwellings and among them. And so we think of Judas then, a man, Jesus actually says, a man, my equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance, he says. It wasn't an enemy who particularly hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important to recognize that when Judas betrayed the Master, it wasn't particularly because he hated him, it would appear. It was because he wanted money. Because it says you believe not. We just read of that in the other passage. So he was governed by the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil, we're told in the New Testament. Another psalm I'd like to look at is Psalm 41, which is a similar idea is presented to us. Psalm 41, we read here in verse 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread. And we just read of that in the New Testament portion of our readings in Luke 22. He did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his seat, his heel against me. But thou, O Yahweh, be merciful unto me, and raise me up, that I may requite them. And so they are going to be, the Lord is going to be raised up again. He's going to be restored to life after the betrayal of his own familiar friend, it says here. Where it says mine own familiar friend, it says in the margin the men of my peace. Slightly different idea there, that emphasizing the point, it wasn't an enemy in the sense of it was a hatred for Christ. It was ulterior motives of self-interest. Well, if we go back over to Matthew chapter 26, it says in Psalm 41 that he was mine own familiar friend. And Matthew 26 picks up on this. At least the Lord picks up on this, as recorded in Matthew chapter 26. And verse 50. This is the great company that came with Judas. Verse 47, the context. While he yet spake, that of course is the Lord Jesus Christ, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And it was, that's what we might call overkill, as it were. They went above and beyond what was needed. Here was this man who was an unresisting man, and they brought a great company of swords and staves. I don't know what they thought he was going to do, but that was a situation that was instigated by Judas. And then we read in verse 48, now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? An unfamiliar friend, did eat of my bread. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And so the Lord addressed him as friend in verse 50. And I think what's happening here is that the Lord was giving him every opportunity to repent and to turn back from what he was doing. He gave him every opportunity to do that, but it wasn't to be. It was prophesied that that's what was going to happen. And the foreknowledge of God was such that he knew that Judas was not going to back down and he was going to betray the Lord. And so it's interesting to notice that it was with a kiss. It says, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And that comes out again. Luke 22. We're going to spend a bit of time in Luke 22 in a moment, so we might as well keep a finger there. Luke 22 and verse 48, Jesus specifically brought this to Judas' attention. He said in verse 48, Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And in these words, you have an illustration of Proverbs 27. We go to Proverbs 27. This is illustrated in the experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 6, Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And so it's that aspect, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And here we have Judas, who was against the Lord Jesus Christ, and his kiss was that which betrayed the Master to those who sought after him. And it was through the kiss that he identified who the Master was in the dark, in the circumstances in which the multitudes came forth. Well, if we just go back over to Matthew then, Matthew chapter 27, we find that Judas had a conscience about what it was that he was doing. And in verse 3 it says, of Matthew 27, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned, and I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. And so we find then that Judas had a conscience about what it was that he did. He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. And he returned the money that they'd given him because of his repentance. But it says he repented himself. And it wasn't a genuine repentance. And we're just looking at it in just a moment. He felt sorry for himself. He realized what he'd done. He knew he betrayed innocent blood, and he was sorry for himself for doing that. He was sorry that he realized now what he'd done, but it's too late. He'd already done it. And he went, and verse 5, it says he hanged himself. So it wasn't a genuine repentance to life, but it was something that brought him to commit suicide as an escape for what it was that he'd done. He hung himself. Interesting to compare this with Acts chapter 1. If we go to Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, I think it's verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. It talks about Judas in verse 16, which was a guide to them that took Jesus. For he is numbered with us and obtained part of his ministry. Now it says in verse 18, Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. So we read again, don't we, in one of the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, where a certain man found a pearl of great price and he purchased a field in order that he might be given that pearl. Or might obtain and take possession of that pearl. But here this man purchased a field, what with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. What a terrible way to go. Sometimes it's suggested that there's a contradiction here between this verse and Matthew, where we're told that in Matthew it says that they took the silver pieces and bought the potter's field. There's no contradiction, I don't think, because in verse 18 it says this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and I take that to be referring to holding the bag, as it were, the money that he stole from the poor. And he purchased a field with that money that he'd stolen from the poor, I think. I think that's the right way. And then when he hung himself, as it says in the record, one of the other records, I can't remember which one now, it says he hung himself, and so it would appear that his means of his hanging broke or whatever, and he fell headlong and terrible way to go. He burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. A terrible thing to happen. And so we go over to Psalm 109. Psalm 109. And we read here of the end of Judas, as it were. Psalm 109 and verse 17. Well, we already looked at verse 16, where it says, he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man. Verse 17, as he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like was his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as a garment that covereth him, and for a girdle, wherewith he is girded continually. We see some of the terms here associated with the end of Judas, when hung himself with his garment, as it were, and his bowels gushed out, and so on. A terrible thing, as we say, to happen to him. Well, that's Judas, a man who was lost, a man who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is a sin unto death, and that sin was enacted by Judas as well. It was a sin unto death. He not a sin that he would be forgiven for, and he only felt sorry for himself and had a deep remorse in himself rather than a godly repentance. But the other aspect of what we want to consider is of Peter. We turn over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have an example here that's brought out to us and is very relevant to the experiences of Peter. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll just look at verse 12. It says there, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And that's the example of Peter. He thought that he was standing strong, and that he would be strong in faith. But he fell. He fell from that position. And so we turn back over to Luke 22. And as I say, we'll be looking at quite a bit now at Luke 22 for the remainder of our comments. But in Luke chapter 22, we read of this experience of Peter in verse 33. There he says to Jesus, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. So here he is, he that thinketh he standeth. He said, I'll be strong in faith. I will not betray you. I'll be with you. It's interesting to note, we're not looking at it now, but it's interesting to note, elsewhere we're told that the Pharisees were chosen to be with him. And Peter here says, I will be with you, even in prison, even in the grave. But Jesus said to him in verse 34, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And so the Lord knew, just as he knew that Judas from the beginning was going to betray him. He knew from the beginning that it was so. He also knew from the beginning that Peter was going to deny him. There's a difference, and a very important difference, between denying him and betraying him. And we'll just look at this in the remainder of our remarks. But here's the point that he told Peter that he was going to deny the Lord three times even. And not just once, but three times. And if you go to Luke chapter 22 and verse 55, or verse 51 for context, it says, "Then took they him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "and led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." So he starts off being afar off. Then in verse 55, "When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down with them." So he's sitting with them now. "A certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire." So he's sitting by the fire with them. "And earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him." And these circumstances here, they do remind me of Psalm 1. Just go back there. I don't know if this is a particular link or not, but it does remind me of the language of Psalm 1, what Peter was doing here. Verse 1 of Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." So here Simon was walking, following the Lord Jesus Christ, and walking ultimately with those who were associated with his death. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners," and he stood with them and warmed himself by the fire, "nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." And it doesn't say that he sat, but, it does actually, in verse 55 it says, "Peter sat down among them." And so, this is a characteristic of the righteous, to be separate from the ways of the ungodly, and the way of sinners, and the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And then it talks about the ungodly in verses 4 to 6. So it's just a reference that here was the characteristics of the righteous, but yet in his weakness, Peter enacted the opposite principles of associating himself with these men in verse 55. And then, whilst he is doing that, whilst he associated himself with these men and women, or men, he denied association with the Lord. In verse 57, he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." He didn't even just say, "Well, I wasn't with him." He said, "I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I know him not." A terrible failing on his part. Again, in Matthew chapter 26, and verse 58, it says that Peter followed Jesus afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with his servants to see the end. And so he was there to watch, to see the end of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, he didn't realize at the time that he was going to have to die and then be raised again. Peter didn't know that at the time, as the other disciples didn't either. So he was to see the end. Just interesting, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we have an allusion back to this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. "The elders which are among you, I exhort am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." And I take it that partaking of the glory there would have been a transfiguration of Christ. But he says, "I'm an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." When he witnessed those sufferings, he was denying association with the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, he said, "I know him not." Does he know who he is? He says. But yet, if we look at the contrast in his character, we find that he, going back to this event now, and he's saying that he's a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He did that. And so, if you turn back over to Acts now, Acts chapter 4, we read here of the changed associations of Peter and John in verse 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And then they looked at the miracle of healing that had been performed. But here's the point. Peter, in the days of the Lord's mortal ministry, denied association with him. I know not the man. But afterwards, once he'd been converted, as it were, he proclaimed association with Christ. And because of example and his words, his speech and his conduct, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And he spent the rest of his life declaring that fact, that he'd been with Jesus, his witness of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And so we find that recognition in Peter. Well, if we just go then over to Luke 22 again, Luke 22 and verse 61. Verse 60 for context, this is the third time now when Peter denied the Lord. Verse 60, Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. What a thing that is, that the Lord in his anguish and his suffering was disposed to turn and to look upon Peter. And when Peter received the look of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all it took. He remembered what it was that Jesus had said to him. Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And then it says, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." However, contrast here, as we said, between Peter and Judas. Peter sorrowed a godly sorrow unto repentance, and we did truly repent. That's not what Judas did. We have this kind of dual aspect to repentance, if you like. We come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it's obviously a different context, but it's the same principle here. In verse 8, he refers to the first letter, the first of Corinthians. Verse 8, it says, "Though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season." And so the first epistle of Paul then, made them sorrowful, and they were sorry because of what he said to them and what they needed to do. That man who'd taken his wife's he'd done wrong, and so he was told to they were told to deal with him, and they were made sorry by that letter. But he says in verse 9, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage in us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And that's the difference between Judas and Peter. Judas had the sorrow of the world, which brought forth death, as he sought suicide as a means out of the situation. But Peter exercised godly sorrow of repentance to salvation. And so he did repent of this situation truly in his heart. He did repent for these things. And so we turn back over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And Brother Les has already brought our attention to verses 31 and 32, and we'll look at them again. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." These are interesting words. When thou art converted, he says, that he was to strengthen the brethren. And I just turn over to John 21, I think it's 21 and verse 18. Oh yeah, John 21 and verse 15. This is the Lord to Simon Peter after the Lord had been raised up again from the dead in verse 14. And so in verse 15 it says, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith, feed my sheep. He saith him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. And then he spoke words in verse 18 and verse 19. Then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And so here we find that the Lord telling Peter that he will die with the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And through a particular death, he is going to glorify God. But the point is that three times Peter denied his Lord. Three times he affirmed his love for the Lord. And he spent the rest of his life with that in his mind, knowing that he denied his Lord. But we find that he was accepted. And so just turn over to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, our time is running out, so we'll bring to a close in a moment. John chapter 17 and verse 12. Here it says in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, this is the disciples and the Lord's prayer to his Father regarding the disciples, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And we've seen some of the scriptures that were fulfilled in the actions and attitude of this son of perdition. But notice the point that Jesus says, I've kept them and none of them is lost but Judas. In other words, Peter was not lost. He repented of what he'd done. He didn't betray the Lord, but he denied him. And he repented. And to hear what, he wasn't lost. He was found by the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. And the Lord prayed for him that when he was converted, his faith might be strong, and it was so, and these things took place. Well, there's just one final point I'd like to make in this regard. If we just go back over to Matthew 26, Matthew chapter 26. I think we may have looked at this recently, so excuse me if I'm just repeating myself or something we said recently. Matthew chapter 26, we read here the words of the disciples. Verse 21, it says, as they did eat, Jesus said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And he knew that was Judas, he knew who it was going to be. And he says in verse 25, he affirmed that to Judas. But look what happens in verse 22, it says, they're exceeding sorrowful. So again, is this sorrowful, righteous sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And notice they looked inwardly. They didn't look to the brother across the table and say, is it him? Or is it this other one over here? They looked inwardly and they said, is it I? They didn't know whether they were going to be strong enough to maintain their faith at the time when the Lord is going to be taken. One of you shall betray me. Is it I? And finally we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Where the Apostle Paul received a special command of the Lord regarding the breaking of bread, which we're about to do together. Well, which we've done together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. Verse 27 for context. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And that's Judas. He ate and drank unworthily, as it were, because he was the betrayer. And he's guilty because of what it was that he'd done. But then in verse 28, these are the other disciples, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. But here's the point in verse 28, let a man examine himself. Lord, is it I? An inward introspection, as it were. And so that's what we must endeavour to do also. So we'll bring our thoughts to a conclusion at that point. We tried to look at some examples of Judas, a man governed by the love of money and self-interest, who stole from the poor, who had the Lord Jesus Christ put to death through his betrayal, and a man who was lost. He was a lost cause. He's the only one of the 12 disciples that were lost. And then we think of Peter, who, although he denied his Lord, nevertheless he turned back and he was not lost. And he was shown by what death he is going to glorify God. And so when we look at these two men, we need to consider ourselves inwardly and determine which are we going to be like. Are we going to be like Judas in seeking after the things of the world? Or are we going to be like Peter, who repented and sought after the things of the living God? And of course, that's a decision that only we can make for ourselves.